Matthew chapter number 7 is an interesting chapter. I feel like I've been hung around in this, what is known as the Sermon on the Mount, for a little while. Jesus is preaching to a group of people, and he is giving what is recorded as Jesus' longest recorded sermon. This is not a conversation. This is not a debate. There's nobody asking questions. There's no arguments going on here. This is Jesus preaching to whoever will listen. And we're getting toward the end of that in the chapter number 7 here. And Jesus has been just passing out truth like it ain't no tomorrow. I mean, if there was ever a great preacher, I would say that Jesus was the greatest preacher what ever lived. Can we all agree with that? And when we think about our Bible, and we understand that the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible says that every word of Scripture is the Word of God. This is the very breath of God. Everything in this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, instruction, and correction, and all of that stuff. And so we know that from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation, it's all the Word of God. If God Himself was to be standing in front of us this morning, His words from His mouth would be the same as these words in this book. Matter of fact, Peter said that I trust this book more than I would trust an audible revelation. He said this: we have a more sure Word of God than he said there. This is something beyond even the ability of our imagination to play tricks on us, or some kind of a hallucination to step in to our world. This is sure as sure can be. This is perfect. It is infallible. It is inerrant. It is immutable, immalleable. I could go on and on and on and on and on. But some places in this book are even more so. The Word of God. Now be careful right here. Say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that if your Bible's like my Bible, and if you ain't got a red letter Bible, you ought to get one. But if your Bible's like my Bible, then just about everything on the page I'm turned to here is written in red. Amen. So what does that mean? That means that not only is this the Word of God in the sense that it was inspired by God, these are the verbal, physical words that came out of the mouth of the physical embodiment of the Lord Jesus Christ when He was on this earth. In a 33-year stretch, there are things that He said with His vocal cords that are recorded in this book. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't get any more sure than that. And that's part of the reason I love this section of the book of Matthew, Matthew 5 and 6 and 7, because it's all in red. This is all the words of Jesus. He is giving us a lot of admonitions in this sermon and warnings and things like that. And also at the same time, He is highlighting the blessings of a believer, a follower of Him. And then toward the end here in chapter 7 and verse number 6, if you have paragraph markers in your Bible, which again, if you don't have a Bible with paragraph markers, you ought to get you one. But if you do, you'll see that this verse number 6 in Matthew chapter number 7 is its own paragraph. Say, why does that matter? Well, it's almost as if Jesus stops for a brief moment in the midst of this message and gives a sidebar that an admonition here that is not separate from the rest of the message, but it uniquely important on its own merit. Let me give you an example. If I was to say, Brother Brian, I want you to take my Jeep and go run to Wilson for me. Now, here's where I want you to go. I want you to go to this store and to that store. And oh, by the way, I'm missing all the lug nuts on my back tire. And I want you to go to this store and that store and the other store. Now, wait a minute. That statement don't really have that much to do with what else I'm talking about, but it's pretty important concerning the entire situation. Amen? That's the kind of sidebar I'm talking about. So Jesus is preaching this message and He's giving all these truths and He's telling about all these blessings and He's telling about all these commands and He's telling about all these truths and things that you should know. And then in verse number 6, He kind of says, "What? By the way, You need to know what I'm about to say right here. Let's read it together, Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 6. Matter of fact, let's stand together as we read. Stretch your legs for a moment. We might be here a while. The Bible says this, Matthew 7 and verse number 6, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." I believe the purpose of this verse is that Jesus is telling us we need to be careful. Careful with the truths that He has given us. Careful about what we hold on to. How we handle the good things that God has given us. Careful about being willing to sacrifice those things on the altar of this world. Father, we come before You this morning, Lord. I need Your help. Right now, God, I pray You would preach me, Lord, God, beyond my abilities. Lord, not that I may be glorified, but that You may be glorified. I pray You would do exactly what You would have done this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You be seated. One of our former presidents, one Barack Obama, famously on the campaign trail made a statement about people in rural areas outside of the major liberal cities, that the problem, the reason that they were voting the way they were is because they were clinging to their God and their guns and their religion. And I think he might have been right about the guns. I don't know about you, but I cling pretty tight to mine. But the other things, our faith, our religious practices, from my perspective, we don't seem to be holding on to those things equally as tight. But I'm here to encourage you this morning. Church, I believe that God is working in this place in a very special and unique way. I'm telling you right now, I can take you across the countryside this morning, and what we have here is a unique intervention of God. Amen. But if we're going to continue down this path, if we're going to stand, as the Bible says, in the latter day, there's some things that we're going to have to hold on to real tight. Amen. There's some things that we're going to have to not be willing to let go of. Amen. And that's what I want to preach to you about this morning. This thought, hold on real tight. Can I tell you something? It's easy to hold on to something at first. I don't know if you've ever, if you're like me, when I go to the grocery store and I come home, I might have 15, 20 bags of groceries in the car. That's about $3,000 worth, I think, in today's terms. But I might have 10, 15 bags of groceries in the car. And it's about, from where I park at to my front door, is probably about 30 yards. And I don't know about you, I'm going to just tell you about me. My goal in life in that moment is to make as few trips to that front door as humanly possible. Amen. Them steps, when I look at them, they look like they're 20 foot tall. And I'm thinking, ain't no way I'm coming back out this car. And you get all them grocery bags in your hand, I don't have time to give you the science of it, but that's not a lot of surface area that all that weight's pressing on. And have you ever, I mean, I've toted them in the house, and when I set them down, I had red marks all on my hands and my wrists. But see, what was in them bags was valuable enough to me that I wasn't willing to let them go. Amen. The pressure was on. Mm-hmm. It was hard. It was hurting. But I didn't let them go. But can I tell you something? I think that a lot of times in Christianity, there are things in the economy of God that we grab onto so tight, and then a little pressure comes, and we're quick to just turn loose.
Amen. Amen. Listen, there's some things worth holding on to.
Look at what your Bible says, verse number 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. I want to say this, number one. We're going to have to hold on to our holiness. Some of y'all didn't hear me right there. If you're going to live a life that is pleasing to God in 2025, you're going to have to learn how to hold on to your holiness. Amen. Look what he says, give not that which is holy to the dogs. Let me give you a definition of the word holiness. Listen to this definition. Purity of heart or dispositions. That means what you feel and what you do. Hey, can I tell you something? What you do reveals what you feel. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's inside of you is demonstrated in what's outside of you. Moral goodness, my soul. What if we got back to moral goodness? Can I tell y'all something? And my parents are here, and I love them. But I'm telling you right now, I was not raised in an environment where we were in a church service like this every Sunday. Are you hearing me? And a lot of you in this room also were not. But even in that state, I was taught from the time I could be taught about morality. What is good? What is right? Why do you do this? This is the harder way to do it. Why do we do that? Because it's right. Man, we're losing that in our society. Are you listening to me? You can like it or love it. You can take it or leave it. We are losing morality, basic, simple morality in our society. But we do not have to lose it in the church.
That's right.
Amen.
Just because the world is immoral doesn't mean the church has an excuse to be immoral.
That's right.
Morality fixes a lot of problems. Integrity fixes a lot of problems. Moral goodness. Listen to this. The state of anything hallowed or consecrated to God or His worship. Can I say this to you this morning? This is a different kind of message, but y'all better stay with me. Hey, listen to me. If you learn how to hold on to some things, you'll have something to work with, praise God. Listen, there ought to be some things in your life, Christian, that are sanctified to God and to God alone. There ought to be some things in your life as a Christ follower that are not up for debate. Are you hearing me? Listen, we got to hold on tight to some things. Hear me, church. We got to hold on tight to our purity. We can't be savages like this world. We can't be immoral and impure like this world. We're going to have to hold on tight to our purity if we're going to keep it and maintain it. We got to hold on tight to our practices. You say, preacher, why do we come in here and have church the way we have church? Because I believe if you study your Bible, we're doing exactly what they did. Listen to me. I believe that where we're sitting right now is the closest thing in 2025 to a New Testament church service that you can be in. If I didn't believe that, I'd leave and go somewhere else. Listen to me. Why do we do it the way we do it? Because our practices are important. We got to hold on tight to our praise. We'll praise anything in this world. Mm-hmm. When's the last time you gave God some praise?
Amen.
Boy, we'll cast praise on anything and everything.
I was talking to a preacher the other day, and he was trying to make a point about, and we're talking about having a biblical worldview in modern society. And he was trying to make a point. I understand the point he was trying to make. And the point he was trying to make was that this idea that a lot of things that we see as carnal are really spiritual. These attacks and all these things. And he said, you know, it's the idea that the ones that are rising up against us politically, that's spiritual as much as it is carnal. That's a spiritual battle as much as it is a carnal battle. And he was making this point. It was a good point, but I told him, I said, I'll be honest with you, brother. I pastor a church full of conservative Southern people.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so if I'm going to be intellectually honest, there's times when I have to remind them that not only is Nancy Pelosi not the devil, Trump ain't God.
Amen.
I said, now if we only tell it one way and not the other way, we're not really being honest. See, there's some practices, there's some praise that we need to hold on to. Are you hearing me? We'll heap praise on anybody but God. There ain't a celebrity, there ain't an athlete, there ain't an influencer that can take the place of God. Hear me and hear me well. In our world, in my generation now, here's what I hear people tell me. Did you see, oh, so-and-so on TikTok, they got converted, and they're talking about God. And that's wonderful, and I'm thankful for it. But I'm gonna be honest with you. I'll be real careful about how I put my weight behind what they're doing. I got to be suspect of everything that goes on in this world because it is so wicked and so carnal. But listen to me, I ain't never had to be suspect about heaping praise on the Lord. I ain't never had to be careful about talking about how good God is. I've never had to say, well, God did something good, but he probably also did something bad. God did some good stuff, but I'm afraid of getting behind him. I've never had to think that way. His praise is pure because his heart is pure, because his ways are pure. Listen to me. Our praise is something we ought to hold on to.
Amen.
We have one thing in this world that we can count on, really. And he's the last thing we think about. There ain't a man, hey, listen to me, and by the way, I ain't just talking to young people here, I'm talking to grown folks too. I'm sick of pretending like we're talking to young people only when we talk about stuff like this. There ain't a man or a woman, are you listening to me, or a naked picture, are you listening to me, or a video, you hear me, worth giving up your purity. Hear me now. There's marital purity just like there's premarital purity.
Mm-hmm.
Help us, Lord. Some of us live impure within a marriage and never commit adultery in a way that we see adultery. But when you turn that video on after your spouse goes to bed, mm-hmm. that's just as much blessed fire adultery as any other kind of adultery.
Amen.
You hear me? Oh yeah, we preaching now.
Amen.
That's all I hate. You listen, you say, preacher, you're getting a little too real. Well, you go down the road, they just preach you some fake stuff down there somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, they'll pretend down yonder somewhere. We're going to be real up in here.
Amen.
We got to hold on to some things. Our holiness is worth hanging on to.
Amen.
Listen to me now. Every time you take that which is holy in your life and let it slip to give place to that which is unholy, you are creating a divide in your life and opening for Satan to wedge himself into your life. Every time you create an opening, I promise you this, Satan will fill it. He will find something to put there. He will not let there be a space in your life that he does not consume if he is able. Are you hearing me? That's why 2 Corinthians 7:16 says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll be a father unto you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Are you hearing me this morning? Hey, listen to me. Holiness binds us to God in a special way. James 4 and verse number 4 says this, a friendship with the world is enmity with God. You can't have it both ways. You can't have one foot in and one foot out. Don't throw your holiness to the dogs of this world. Don't throw down your holiness for the allure of this world. Are you listening to me this morning? Hold on.
Hold on.
Amen. We need to learn how to hold on.
Amen.
There's some things worth fighting for.
Amen.
There's some things worth arguing over.
Mm-hmm.
Hey y'all. There's some things worth saying, you know what? This ain't the right place for me. I love you, but I gotta go.
Amen.
I'll call you tomorrow when you sober up. There's some things worth holding yourself back for. We have lost the art. Paul said, I bring my flesh into subjection. We've lost the art. He said in Corinthians, I take my thoughts captive. When's the last time something ran through your mind and you put the brakes on it?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm talking about holiness. Holiness, living a spirit-filled life, mm-hmm. is not the absence of the flesh. It is the ability to go to war with it.
That's right.
It is the willingness to continue to move in God's direction. Holiness is not defined by perfection. If it was, there wouldn't have never been but one person capable of it. Holiness is not defined by perfection. Holiness is defined by desire. Because if you want to be holy, you will be. You know what I've learned in my years in the ministry? I used to think that the reason that people didn't do stuff or did the wrong things and all that is just because, there's all these circumstances and life is hard and all of this stuff and they got this problem or that person pulling off. You know what I've learned in these years? People do exactly what they want to do.
Amen.
For the most part.
Amen.
People pretty much do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. If they want to go to church, they'll go to church.
Yeah.
If they don't go to church, it's probably because they didn't want to. Amen. This is shouting preaching, ain't it? Huh? Come on now. Listen to this. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. I told you this was going to be long this morning. You just had to live with it. I said, hold on to your holiness, but you're going to have to learn how to hold on to your help. Mm-hmm. Listen to this. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine. Let me try to help you with this. A pearl is something that is of great value. Typically given as a gift. It is not easily come by. You know what gives the pearl its value? Somebody has to put on a diver suit and dive down into the water. Did y'all know you can't breathe underwater? So you're reliant on machinery to keep you alive the whole time you're down there. And then you've got to sift through a bunch of oysters. How many of y'all have ever shucked oysters? They will cut you, friend. And if you get cut by an oyster underneath the water, that's probably not going to end well. That's probably going to get infected. All right, listen to me. Then they got to find one in a million that has a pearl. Then that pearl's got to be made right to put it on your necklace or your earrings. It is of great value. It is something that somebody has to be willing to go to work and harvest it. And it is a gift. And when you have one, it's worth holding on to. Can I say this to you this morning? Every time you sit in a church service and God shows up and gifts you with something from His Word that can help you after a preacher has gone and put his mask on and gone down into the depths and sorted through the oysters and sorted through the junk and filtered out and looked and searched for a pearl of wisdom that can be handed off to you by the power of God, and that is gifted into your life. That is a gift of great value in your life. But how many times, church, do we walk right out that door and throw down that pearl to the hog pen of this world? Because it takes up space. Because sometimes it's this. I've seen this. Sometimes it's this because we don't think we deserve it. Because we don't think we're worthy of it. Sometimes it's because we don't understand its value. Some of y'all been, I'm going to be real honest, everybody okay? Some of y'all been sitting in good church too long.
Amen.
I mean, listen, some of y'all need to take a vacation to a dead church for about a month and then come back. Because some of y'all been sitting too long in a place where God is heaping on you truth.
Yeah.
Pearls of wisdom and knowledge and truth. And you think that just comes like a candy out of a candy machine. You can't go on ChatGPT and AI up the truth of God. You hear me? Don't work like that. I can't turn on Joel Osteen on Saturday night, see what he's got to say, and go mimic that in church on Sunday morning and expect God to hand out pearls of wisdom. Are you hearing me? It don't work like that. A lot of times we miss what God's doing because we're just not paying attention.
And don't blame it on everybody else. Don't blame it on everybody else.
Hear me, church. I'm hurt somebody's feelings right here, but that's okay. Maybe it might be that your feelings need to be hurt. Sometimes, hey, sometimes pain is the only way to progress. Are you hearing me?
That's right.
Hey, if a youngin' twitching around two pews in front of you keeps you from hearing the truth of God, that's your fault. That ain't the youngin's fault.
Amen.
If I can preach over a baby crying, you can listen over a baby crying.
Amen.
Preacher can't preach over a baby crying. Ain't worth his weight in nothing. You hear me? Listen to me now. When you miss it, it's your fault. It ain't nobody else's fault. Because a lot of times, it's not what goes on in here that distracts you. It's what goes on out there. Some of us need to learn how to leave out there.
Yeah.
Nothing out there is going to change between the time you come in here and the time you go back out.
Right.
You understand? Nothing's going to... The people that's after you out there are still going to be after you when you leave out of here.
Yeah.
It'll be there. Then bills that's laying on your counter when you left this morning, they'll be laying right there when you get back with the same trouble and the same problem. The only difference is if you let God deal with your heart this morning, you might have a different perspective when you get back to
Him. Amen.
Amen.
You'd never walk into a hog pen with a string of pearls around your neck. Did you think about that? So why in the world would you walk yourself into a worldly, ungodly circumstance with the truth of God in your heart? What do you think is going to happen to that? God is building a testimony in your life that can and will shine brighter than any pearl or any diamond of great price. But some of y'all are going to leave out of here and carry it right back to the hog pen, and then you're going to be surprised when it's gone. You know why you would never carry a string of pearls into a hog pen? Because you'd be scared you'd lose it. But you'll carry your testimony. Are you listening to the church? You'll carry your testimony into the club on Friday night and wonder why you ain't got it no more on Saturday. You'll carry your testimony into a situation you shouldn't have never been in and then wonder how it got gone. Young people, you'll carry your testimony down a dirt road somewhere with a boy or with a girl that you ought not to have been alone with in the first place, and then look around and wonder how in the world did I find myself in this situation. Hey, listen to me. Here's an idea. When you get the truth of God implanted into your life, hold on to it.
Amen.
Because before you know it, it'd be gone. Better hold on to your help. Man, I sat in church for the last 2 days.
Heard preaching from three of what I believe to be as good of preachers as there is on God's earth.
Yeah.
Life-changing preaching.
Yeah.
But I wonder how much of it on the way home yesterday in traffic. I wonder how much of it I threw at them idiots trying to drive. I can't talk about y'all, just talk about me. Hey, man. I wonder how much of it I left everywhere that I hit a place where I had to set it aside to do what I was thinking about doing. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Friendship with the world's enmity with God. You can't carry the things of God into the places of this world. And they don't want you there with that.
You better hold on to your help. You better cherish what God does for you in this place. Let me be real clear. It ain't because of me. It ain't because of me. And listen to me now. Preachers are meant to be, I believe this, biblically, preachers, speakers of the word, are meant to be basically interchangeable. That is to say, if I fell over dead tomorrow, another man should be able to step behind this pulpit, take my place, and it should be there's no difference.
Right.
He might sound different, look different, act different, all that stuff, but the word of God doesn't change one man to another.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Listen to me now. It's not because of me.
Yeah.
It's not. If there's anything in me that aids in the production of pearls of wisdom in this church, it is only willingness. That I'm just dumb enough to just try. I mean, really. Because God's the one that creates these beautiful things that are given to us. Your help, the Bible says your help cometh from the Lord.
And if God has helped you in these type of settings, you ought to cherish that.
Amen.
You ought to hold on to that.
Don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't hand over all the progress that God has made in your life for a bunch of foolishness.
Amen. Hold on. Hold on this morning to your holiness. Hold on to your help. Then I give you this and I'll be done. Hold on to your heart. Look at this. Let's read the whole verse. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest. Lest, that means or else. Lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Let me explain to you how this works, friend. Some of y'all have raised hogs before. Some of you raise hogs now. And you'll know that what I'm saying is true right here. To a hog in a hog pen, stepping on a priceless pearl ain't no different than stepping on any other rock. A hog don't put no value on a pearl any more than he values anything else. It ain't no different than stepping on a dirt clog. And hear me now, it ain't no different than turning around and running you over. You know what a hog eats when he's hungry? The first thing available. I'm telling you right now, friend, when you take your testimony into the hog pen of this world, it always ends the same. The world will never respect what God has given you. The world will never give due honor to the pearls that God has placed into your life. They will destroy them. And if they're given the opportunity, they will go further and destroy you. They will not stop with simple destruction. They will take you and rend you, the Bible says, tear you up and tear you apart. Are you listening to me this morning? The hogs of this world, of the swine, the dogs of Satan in this world, they exist for one reason and one reason only, and that is destruction. Are you listening to me? The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And Satan will tear your life apart if you will give him the opportunity. If you won't hold on to what God has done in your life, he will tear it limb from limb.
Amen.
He'll separate you from your spouse. He'll separate you from your friends. He'll separate you from your church. Are you listening to me? He'll separate you from your wallet. He'll separate you from your will. Hey, listen, you know what's so interesting to me about drug addiction and how prominent it is in our society? Drug addiction is simply this: a human being separated from their will. They are no longer in control of what is going on. That's what Satan will do to your life. He will make you take you to a place where you no longer have a choice to make. Listen, he'll take you to a place where the strength of what is overcoming you is not something that you can overcome. Listen to me. Satan, you will never
be able to defeat Satan in your own power.
Right. I wrote this down in my notes. I want you to hear this. I might say it two or three times just to try to get a hold of you.
You will never impact this world as long as you're trying to impress this world.
Right.
Let me say that again. You will never have an impact on this world as long as you are trying to impress this world. You can't do both of them things.
Because to impact them, you're going to have to be in opposition to them. How can you change them if you're not different than them? How can you inflict change on the world if you're no different than everything else around you? That don't make no sense.
If we're all standing in a huddle, the only way I can make you move is if I move.
You will never impact the world as long as your goal is to impress the world. Listen to me now, church. You will never have a man or a woman to respect you and your relationship with the Lord until you respect yourself
in your relationship with the Lord.
Amen. You will never have a testimony that will impact somebody else until somebody else can see that your testimony has impacted you.
Amen.
And you will never experience the fullness of what God has for your life until He can trust you to hold on to it.
Say, why hadn't God given me what I've asked for? Because you'd probably throw it away 5 minutes later. My kids, y'all listen, Christmas time when you have multiple kids can be a stressful situation.
Amen.
I'm going to give you this illustration, I'm going to be done. When Delilah was little, when she was little, here's what we used to do. We would just buy one of everything. And we thought, this is the way that we would go through the toy aisle at Toys R Us or Walmart or whatever and just get one of everything. We used to go to Toys R Us, give her the little scan gun, and let her make a list. Everything in the store. You know what we found out? We found out that we could give her 100 gifts, but there's really only a few that she was ever really going to be interested in. And the rest of them ended up at Goodwill. So I was just buying toys for the community, which I'm not against. But when you're 20 years old and broke, it's probably not a good idea. So you said, what did you do? Well, we started focusing on giving them things that they would actually get some use out of.
Right.
And our focus became to gift them with things that they would actually care about and use, something that they really wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times God operates in our life like that. Mm-hmm. Why am I going to give you something that you're just going to throw away?
Yeah.
Why am I going to create in you a testimony when you're just going to cast it to the dogs?
Right.
Why am I going to do special things in your life when you're just going to throw them down as you inch your feet into the hog pen?
Yeah.
Why am I going to bless you when you're just going to throw it away?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to learn how to hold on to some things.
Mm-hmm.
It's time we decide as God's people to grab a hold of the things of God and not to turn them loose for nobody or no thing.
I'm telling you, Christian, there ought to be some things in your life that nobody in this world can part from you.
Amen.
There ought to be some things that you're going to go to your grave holding on to just as tight as you're holding on to them today. Living a life that is pleasing to God is not easy, but it is simple.
Mm-hmm.
The way of the transgressor is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Living for God is not hard. It is sometimes it is strenuous, but it's so simple. Because God will give you what you need if you'll just hold on to it.
Amen.
Tell you what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to learn how to hold on real tight. I want you to stand together all over the building.